So now, when you said Reverend Dahl?
Yes.
That's her, by the way. She is now gone. Okay. So you and Reverend Dahl have gotten together for Thanksgiving for a campaign, is that right?
Yeah, it's related to the whole notion of the Elijah moment, that in a time of increased acts of violence, let's flood the world with acts of kindness, and it relates to the Elijah moment principle, but certainly that's something that I'd love to chat about.
Sure. Is there a website for that, too? Is there a different website for that?
It's actually on my, well, we're kind of updating. Just go to my website, RabbiDanielCohen.com. Everything should be there.
Okay, very, very good. So I'll definitely be talking about that. We'll probably get that in the first segment.
Okay.
And after we're done with the first segment, I'll ask you again if there's something you want to be sure gets covered in the second one. Okay?
Okay. Sounds good.
Otherwise, I have, hours available, so you don't have to think of anything because I have so many questions I want to ask.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds
we're going to get started. Let me just tell Stu. Stuart? Okay, we are ready. Now we have to be quiet. He's going to do a music check, and then we'll have to be quiet. Okay, 10 seconds of silence.
Okay.
It's more than 10 seconds. He had to reset something.
Okay.
We don't have to. I have a feeling, watching your videos, that you have as much trouble being quiet as I do. And now we're starting again. Okay, now we'll be quiet.
Okay.
In the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulder.
And hello, hello, hello once again, and this is Adrienne Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Now, yesterday I was speaking in the great state of New Jersey, and I was introduced, and the fellow said, "And she is the host of Generation Bold, the Fountain of Youth." No, that's the whole point. This is the show about aging and the only one syndicated in the United States of America. I don't know why. We're all aging. It should be a hot topic for everyone. But we don't look at the Fountain of Youth, just the opposite. We look at the Fountain of Truth. What can we gain as we age? What can we give to the world as we age? And I cannot think of a better guest, a more inspiring guest, a mentor, a guide, a motivator than our guest today. And this is one of those times that I'm so happy that we have only one guest today. Often we have two because I told him I have at least 10 hours of airtime questions for him. And we have to squeeze it into only one. His name is Rabbi Daniel Cohn. You may already have read his book. You've probably heard of it. What Will They Say About You When You're Gone? Creating a Life of Legacy. And I will tell you that this is one of the most inspiring books. It is not a maudlin book. It is quite the opposite. I was fascinated that the publisher, Health Communications, deals with healthy living. What Will They Say About You When You're Gone? Creating a Life of Legacy. And Rabbi Cohn is not only a great speaker, he speaks for so many types of organizations, from individual consumer groups to corporate groups, but he's also the host of a radio show that's syndicated as well, The Rabbi and the Reverend, and we'll be talking about a special ecumenical attempt at greater peace, less violence in this world that they've cooked up together. So I just wanted to invite you and thank you, Rabbi Cohn, for being with us today.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here on your show, and God bless all your good work.
Well, we're trying. We're trying to change the way people see aging. And one of those ways fits right into your issue. You know, by the time we get to a certain age, we're kind of entrenched in the way our life is. And we wonder, what was the use sometimes? And other times we're very contented. And often we feel both ways at the same time during different times of the year. And this is a time of reflection for most everyone. And one of the thoughts you have, the beginning thought in What Will They Say About You When You're Gone, is there's a way of re-engineering your life. And it sounds almost impossible, but when you begin to read the book, you go through this journey of questions that really help you. But let's start by explaining what you mean by you can re-engineer your life at any age.
So I think it's important just to step back for a minute and appreciate kind of the spark, I would say, of the title of the book and the gateway, really, to reverse engineering your life. And I like to begin with the premise of you're at a funeral, and as you leave the funeral, you have a moment when you say to yourself, I hope they speak about me the way they spoke about that person. And regardless of your faith, I would say regardless of your age, you feel you want more out of life, and you want to focus not on what is urgent, but what is important. And then usually we're motivated in that moment of awakening for like 15 to 20 minutes, and then we go back to life as usual. And the idea behind the book is to help people identify in those moments of awakening, which we all have, not only potentially at a funeral. We've seen, unfortunately, recently, whether it's after the tragedy in California or in Pittsburgh or there's a hurricane, there's usually a period where we say, wait a second, I'm moving in life too fast. I'm not really doing the things that I want to do, and I need to take life more seriously. But then that only lasts a little bit. So the whole notion of reverse engineering is saying and encouraging people, what is that life that you want to lead? What is your best self? And then I help people, and I call reverse engineering, take the end product, and then they work through a 7-step process to reverse engineer their life so they lead the life now for how they want to be remembered. The whole notion I learned from a friend in business who said, what you're trying to do, Rabbi, I try to reverse engineer a product where I have something and then I see how do I get there. I'm trying to help people reverse engineer a life so that they truly lead lives of legacy and impact.
And, you know, I was very moved. It's impossible, by the way, folks, to listen to the rabbi or read the book and not be moved, and even to the point of moved to tears. And not in a bad way, but in a joyful way. And you're giving yourself a motivation to do more. But one of these, the stories, you have so many stories in the book, is really a Christmas story, the quintessential American Christmas story, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
And you talk about the angel Clarence as a tool. Explain how you kind of can use that tool to see what you would like to be doing in the world.
Sure, because I think those that saw the movie, and I would venture to say it's probably most people saw the movie, right? Even we all see the movie. There's a moment when the fellow in the movie really begins to wonder whether his life, George, is actually worth anything. Things are going, badly, and he's thinking of kind of ending it all because he realizes that he hasn't accomplished what he did, and he doesn't think of hope. And then in that moment, and here really is the pivot point, he's stopped by an angel who says, I want you to look at the world as it could become with you and as it could become without you. And that powerful exercise of thinking about really the difference that we make, and sometimes we underestimate, even in the smallest of ways, the relationships that we're building, the light that we're sharing, can be to a certain degree mind-blowing, because then they say, wait a second, I didn't realize that I did that. I didn't realize that this person was counting on me. And by going through that exercise, it really helps us think about what our true potential is. And what I do is I encourage people to watch the film, but also to answer questions, to clarify, such as, what are the 5 words that you want written on your tombstone? If you had 25 hours to live, 24, what would you do and why? And it's amazing, what comes out when somebody has the quiet space to think deeply about how they want to lead their lives and how they want to be remembered. A fellow came to me who I spoke to not too long ago, and he wrote down that he wanted to be remembered as a father, as a spouse, as a friend. And then he said to the group there, I realized I didn't write that I want to be remembered as a brother, even though I have a sister. And that to me was an awakening that I'm not spending enough time in nurturing relationships with my siblings. And for him, that was it was so soul opening for him.
And we're going to be talking about soul openings, actually. Let me say that I see that as what you call an Elijah moment. We're going to tell everybody what that is. I will say also, I'll share with you, when I was very busy when I was younger, I'm pretty busy now, but in a different kind of way. I had five words for my tombstone. It was not taking any calls. That's what I wanted to say. And not kidding you. And then the email came in, and nobody called me anyway. So
there you go.
And it didn't sound, just wasn't as cool not taking any emails. I don't know why. So lately I've been traveling all over the world, and I would like my tombstone to say, it always pays to go.
I love that. That's good.
I don't know where the journey will be, but so far travel has been very, very good for me.
That's great.
In the couple of minutes that we have left on this segment, I want you to talk for a moment, because we'll spend a lot of time on the Elijah moment and how people can reach their own Elijah moment. But you and Reverend Dahl do have a wonderful campaign going that relates to that. Could you just describe it to us? And for those people who want to know more about it, you simply can go to the rabbi's website, rabbidanielcohn.com, and you can find a lot about his speaking and the book there and many inspirational articles as well. But what have you cooked up with Reverend Dahl?
So basically, it's one of the principles in the book, but Elijah, who we know is a biblical prophet, really represents the ability, and I'll share a story maybe in the next segment, for each and every one of us, even if we cannot change the world, we could change the world of one person. And in one moment, in one time, through one act of generosity, one opening up of our heart to somebody else who we may never see again, could be in a coffee shop, it could be on the road, it could be somebody you meet in an elevator, in that moment when we share our light with somebody else, it potentially not only could ignite their life, but also all those around them. And our idea is that during this season between Thanksgiving and New Year's, when unfortunately we see that the world oftentimes is increasing with acts of violence, we're inspiring people to flood the world with acts of kindness, to discover their Elijah moments, and really to think about when you walk into a room in the next 40 days, what can I do to make this person's day? And the truth is that... Yeah, go ahead.
When you do that, you make your own day. I think that's
100%.
That's what I have found in my... Yeah. And when we come back, we'll take a little bit of a deeper dive in this. We'll kind of separate this from formal philanthropy, from the formalized way that we tend to give charity, which is also very wonderful in this time of year. But this is a little different. And let's hope we'll all find that Elijah moment. Don't you go anywhere. And you have a better chance of finding it when you're older. I'll tell you why when we come back.
I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da-da-da-da.
Okay, so that was the toss. So now you see how it works. So the music, I get a chance to tell them what's happening next. We are ready. We're on a roll still.
Okay, good.
And I'll just introduce and reintroduce you. I'll tell them why I think you can find an Elijah moment more easily when you're older, and then we can jump in with the story or however you want to explain the Elijah moment to the listeners.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Yep.
And we're ready. We probably have to be quiet again a little bit. Yes, we are ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. Inappropriate for my age.
And hello, once again. again. This is Adrian Berg, and this is Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth. Let me tell you that next week I'm going to be bringing you news of aging. There is so much going on in our field. One of them, I'm going to do a little tease for next week. There's a fellow in Holland who is suing to have his age changed from 69 to 49. He says, look, if I can have a gender change, I can have an age change. I cannot wait to see what happens there. I will explain what his argument next week, and maybe we should all have an age change. But there's some wonderful things that happen as you get older. And today we're with Rabbi Daniel Cohen. He is the author of a wonderful book. I've read it twice, by the way, Rabbi Cohen, because you can't.
Oh, wow.
You really
Thank
can't. Yeah, well, you have to kind of read it fast, right? And then you go back and you do the exercises, and you can change yourself daily. You really can. The name of the book is What Will They Say About You When You're Gone? Creating a Life of Legacy. It is not a depressing book. It is a motivating and uplifting book. And you can find out all about that and on the rabbi's website. It was very simple. It's rabbidanielcohen.com. But we're going to talk for a moment about a guiding principle of the book, and that is to find your Elijah moment. The rabbi explained it. But I want to say this to you, Rabbi. There is something that we deal with all the time called gerotranscendence. Gerotranscendence is a stage of life, just like walking and beginning to talk. And it's sociologists, very famous ones like Eric Erickson, have come up with this stage of life. And what they say is that after a certain age, into your 90s, let's say, 80s into 90s and above, you begin to realize your place in the world as a universal place, not your little day-to-day existence, and you begin to see things in a transcendent way. It's not religious necessarily. It is a different view. It's a different lens. Mm. And it becomes easier to search, at least, for your life purpose. The difficulty is finding it. So let's talk about using this tool. I see the Elijah moment as a tool to find that life purpose for people who are already seeking it. So now, let us hear what that means.
Sounds good. I love that idea of gerotranscendence. I'm going to look into that. And just on a personal note, then I'll jump into the Elijah moment. We were blessed a few months ago with our first grandchild, actually. And it put me in a whole other level of the notion of transcendence and legacy. So I'm definitely in that zone right now.
Congratulations. Mine is 6 months old, so boy, we have a lot in common, yeah.
We do. I think one of the things, and this is really where the Elijah moment comes in, when we think about life purpose, we think about it in the broadest possible way, like what did I do with my life, as opposed to what did I do not with the years that I have, but with the days that I've been given, with the hours that I've been endowed with, and with each encounter. And that really is the essence of the Elijah moment. It's based on a beautiful story about a man who went to a mystic and said, I want to see Elijah the prophet. And the mystic said, go into the forest. There's a widow there with her children. And bring her food for the Sabbath, for the weekend, and you'll see Elijah the prophet. So he goes there Friday night, Saturday, no Elijah. Finally, Sunday, he comes back to the mystic and said, you promised me I would see Elijah the prophet. He says, do the exact same thing and go back into the forest with the food, and I promise this time you'll see Elijah the prophet. So he goes deep into the forest, and he's within earshot of the home of this widow. And he hears a child crying out to the mother, saying, Mommy, where are we going to get food from for this weekend, this Sabbath? And the mother turns to the child and says, just like Elijah came last week, Elijah's going to come again. And it was in that moment that he realized that he was the Elijah that this woman was waiting for. What the Elijah moment means is really that in any time, in any place, we can be that person that makes a difference in somebody's life. You know, we started off talking a little about the phenomenon that happens at a funeral, and I often like to say there's what's called the standing room only phenomenon, where somebody's at a funeral, the deceased, if you could ask, would not know who they are, the family wouldn't know, or the friends, but they're there because of one moment in time, that individual made a difference in that person's life. Mark Twain said, and this relates to your purpose question, there are two most important days of your life are the day when you're born and the day when you understand why. And if we realize that every day can be filled with a sense of meaning and impact, through discovering these Elijah moments, we will find that our lives, no matter what age we are, is truly enriched, filled with meaning, and each act that we do motivates us to do even more, and we'll feel that we really are living on fire and with a higher sense of transcendence.
You know, and I can say on a personal note a couple of things. My husband's father, he was a World War II veteran, and he was one of the first to liberate the first concentration camp they ever found.
Wow.
And like most people his age, he never said a word. You never knew what went on in World War II in his life. It did not exist until he was 90 years old. When he told the entire story, he had it videotaped. He was awarded medal, and he passed away this year. And we just got an invitation that a college in Long Island is honoring him.
What's his
made
name?
A day in his name. His name is Marvin Bochner, Bochner. You can see him all over YouTube because in his 90s he did YouTube recounts of what happened. And he went to colleges. And he started doing this only when he was 90 years old. So,
wow.
So when he passed away, we were shocked. He got a military funeral. So here is one kind of way of being remembered.
Yep.
But the back of the room people, my mother mm-hmm. and my husband's mother, we made funerals. We thought five people would show up. The places were jammed.
Mm.
I don't even know who they were until they would come and tell me why they were there. It was a moment in time where
yep.
one of these women had touched them. That was it. So so in looking at this, there's a wonderful seven principles that you can go through with what will they say about you when you're gone. And one of the ones I want to deal with that I thought was extremely interesting was being able to make courageous choices. It's almost the
yeah.
second step. And let's just hear your definition of courageous choices, and we'll spend a little bit more time with that in our next segment.
Sure. The definition, really, of a courageous choice, I guess, first is related to the notion that we are making choices every day, moral choices, about whether we are leading our lives based on principle or pressure, based on convenience or conviction. We oftentimes, the character of our lives and how we will be remembered, our reputation, is one big decision that we make. But the truth is that it's really the product of small decisions. Somebody asks you for a favor. Do you say yes or no? You have the opportunity to return a little bit of money that somebody gave you to keep it or to go back. Do you do that? Do you really focus on making sure that you are making choices based on the values that you believe in? We live in a world where there's so much pressure sometimes to compromise our values, and recognizing that these choices that we make, and I call them courageous because nobody may know about them other than us.
And they can be self-defining. We will come back and see how we can make better choices and why it's a problem to me personally. You'll see. Don't go anywhere.
For my age. Da 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 da.
Okay, so you see again how it goes. It's really terrific. We're going to jump right into these courageous choices because I find it, and I'll tell everybody in honesty, I find it the most difficult part of the book for me personally, and I'll explain why, and maybe I can get some mentoring here on this one, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, Sue, we are ready. And hello, hello, hello once again. We are rushing through this fabulous show with Rabbi Daniel Cohn. You know what? You really should go to rabbidanielcohn.com and look at the videos and bring tissues because they're very moving. There is really no way to make a change in your life through a mentor or a motivator if you don't get moved. It's just nothing's going to happen. And that's what I want to bring out here. because there are seven principles in his book, What Will They Say About You When You're Gone, Creating a Life of Legacy, it's easy to brush through them and not do the exercises and all this. Well, nothing's going to happen. And I found myself really trying here and struggling in one of his seven principles, and that was making courageous choices. So, Rabbi, I'll tell you this personal. I had the same experience you had. My dad died from a cerebral hemorrhage, from an aneurysm, and it took a second. He didn't even have 48 hours. So I went to school, came home, and I had no father. And I was 11, which is a very difficult age for a girl. You're just becoming a woman in a way, you know, and in the next 2 years you're going to be changing a lot. So I never had that much feedback. What did my father think of me? And what would he have wanted? And where would I be guided? And I think from that has always stemmed difficulty in making choices. When I did make the choices, right or wrong, didn't matter. I always questioned them. I'm a great regurgitator of the past and regretter. Boy, I had trouble with this courageous choices. Explain what it means and how it really is not something that, like all of your principles, something that you do once in a while. It's something that you do minute to minute and every day.
Because I think that, you know, again, we realize one of the things that makes us who we are is that we have free choice. We have free choice to hold back or to give, to be honest or to be dishonest, to be, you might say, willing to go outside our comfort zone or really just to take the convenient route. And if we think about it for a minute, you know, I'm reminded of a story about a fellow who has passed away, and he goes to God, and God looks at him and says, "Where are your wounds?" And the person turns to God and says, "I have none." And then God turns back to him and says, "Was there nothing in this world worth fighting for?" What's worth going outside our comfort zone for? What's worth sometimes walking alone because we know we're doing something which is right? And the truth is, yeah, there are large causes out there, but at the end of the day, I see as a courageous choice sometimes, you know, turning off a cell phone so you can be fully present with the person who you're talking to and spending a little more time sometimes with family, even though you may not get the accolades that you might from what you're doing in business, but having the courage to do what ultimately is really important to you. And I think this really does define who we are. King Solomon said many years ago, better to have a good name than all the wealth in the world. There's a beautiful story also, I think, you know, a parent once shared with me in front of his child. He says, "Rabbi, I want to tell you about something, because my parents made me realize how important each action that I do is, not only for me," and this is really one of the strategies, I would say, is realize that what we do is never just in isolation. It reflects on our past and reverberates into our future. And he said, when I was a young kid, me and a friend were making fun of this older woman who was hard of hearing. And turns out my dad and mom heard about it. And they said, "I want you to know, when you do that, it not only affects your reputation, but it affects our family as well." And they sent us back to the local supermarket. This was in a small town. And they said, "We want you to purchase roses with your own money. And for every elderly person who walks out, we want you to give them a rose so you can rebuild our reputation."
Right. Reflecting well. You know, one of the interesting things about your book that I think is more important to convey, it's not easy to convey it on radio because you can't see the pages, is the number of exercises that are in it, actual exercises that people can do to bring themselves into their Elijah moment, as we spoke to before, what their life purpose is, what they can do day to day, how they're making choices, how they're not making choices. But one of the things that it reminded me of, many years ago, it's a very old book. I wrote a book with a philanthropist. His name was Milton Gral, a very famous guy. And I asked him what the two big things that he does every day, because I was more like his scribe as opposed to the author of the book. And he said two things. One, I do something every day that I don't do well, and that's humbling. In his case, he took out the garbage. Remember, he was a multi-millionaire. Takes out the garbage every day. But the other thing was, he would write what he had the opportunity to do for people that day that he missed doing.
So then he would go. Who was this fellow?
His name is Milton Gralla, G-R-A-L-L-A, on the Gralla Foundation he created after he became a multimillionaire from business. And there are hospitals in Israel and schools in Israel and here in the U.S. and all kinds of things. But he's best known in philanthropy as having created the concept of the matching fund, where he would give money if other people matched it. And now everybody does matching funds. So he's pretty famous in philanthropy. But he forced himself to every day to think of five things he could have done for somebody else.
Wow.
And he missed the opportunity. And what a thing to do. What a way to take a few minutes of your day, as opposed to what I sometimes do, which is regret what I never did or what I did do, instead of making a blueprint for what I could do.
Right.
And your book
just
reminded me of that, which I hadn't thought of in years. Now, you know, it's very inspirational. It's going to happen to everybody if you read it. It's called What Will They Say About You When You're Gone, and it's by Rabbi Daniel Cohn. Now, I don't want to lose the opportunity, because people come in and out of radio shows all the time. They may not have heard of your show, The Rabbi and the Reverend, Sunday mornings. Where can they find it? That's number one. And number two, tell us a little bit about what you're doing with Rabbi Dahl, with the Reverend Dahl, on issue of you know, just making life better for the world.
Yeah, so a couple things. First of all, actually on a hiatus for a little bit, but if you look online, if you type in Rabbi and Reverend Gab Radio, you can see all our shows, which are archived there as well. And really, we found early on, it turns out the Reverend reached out to me a number of years ago. He wanted to bring members of his church, his confirmation class, to the synagogue. And before that, we sat down for coffee, and we found that we were kindred spirits. We're both actually the same age, and we both are deeply committed to harnessing our belief and our faith in humanity to really try to help people realize their best self, think about how the wisdom of our faith helps us navigate things. We're both big sports fans and deeply committed to a lot of the same things. So the show is not necessarily one where we're having, you know, a whole interfaith dialogue. It's really about looking at life and how we draw on our faith to help people navigate the world hopefully in a wise way, in a funny way. We also use it as a way to understand each other. Obviously, I'm a rabbi, he's a reverend, and around the holidays, we're thinking about, you know, what do these things mean from his perspective, from my perspective. And I've found, you know, there's more that unites us than divides us. Obviously, we're two different faiths, but at the end of the day, we're both trying to help make the world a better place. So we really try to do that also, hopefully, in action, and whether it's through the Elijah moment. I also was on the phone with him yesterday. He's very involved in the Fellowship for Christian Athletes. He himself played football. And he works with the Darien football team in Connecticut. So they have every week something called the Huddle, where he speaks to athletes at Darien High School. So he invited me to go there to speak to them as well, coming in and really trying to motivate them also. So we really try to connect on multiple levels. And this past weekend, he actually was in synagogue after the Pittsburgh tragedy. I invited him and his parishioners to our synagogue. And literally, we all sang together, Jew and non-Jew alike, about God bringing peace and eternality of the Jewish people. And the whole place was rocking. It was great.
Now, you know, we're taught in our religion that darkness cannot fight darkness. That if something is dark, you cannot beat it with violence. You have to beat it with light. And it's not such an easy thing to accept. It's not such an easy thing to accept that lighting the candle is more important than loading the gun when there's a gun on you. We understand that. But when you get to it, it can be extremely powerful. Now, in our next segment, we're going to be talking about something that's easy. I made it, you know, a lot of these things are not so easy. We grapple with it. Nothing we talk about when it comes to successful aging is easy. From going to the gym every single day to, you know, passing up that piece of cake, it's all hard. But this is essential. I'm going to give you a little relief in our next segment, because we're going to talk about something that's actually a principle of living the life you love that the rabbi suggests in his book. That's very easy. And that is creativity, what to create, and how to create. That also gets much easier, even psychologically and neurologically as we get older. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to go into a world very familiar with all of the listeners. So now you can sigh of relief. You're all off the hook. We're going to come back. We're going to have a little bit of fun.
That doesn't bother me, not even a bit. because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da.
So, in this next segment, which hold one second. You know, I liked this so much that I was completely, I thought we had at least two more segments left, but we don't. So this is the one I didn't want to, I know, it's like crazy. I didn't want to miss this one because the principle of create is something that I want you first to explain to them, and then I'll back it up with
which principle are you referring
to?
In it. Creating memories, oh, you mean? Or?
Yeah, in your book.
Yep.
I kind of, even though it's two separate chapters, to me, renewing energy and the creation chapter kind of merges for me in my life.
Okay, sure.
But we'll start with the create part and the renewing energy. And you'll explain that, and I'll be able to tell them why it actually gets a little bit easier to do both those things when you get older. Okay?
Perfect. Yep.
Okay, so we are ready.
You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da, 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 da.
And hello, hello, hello. This is Adrienne Berg, and this is the only show that deals with the quality and success of aging and how wonderful it is. Aging starts at age 30. And it doesn't stop. It doesn't stop until you do. So everybody is in this boat. Next week we're going to have the great Diana Nyad. You may know her if you follow sports. She's a channel swimmer, the leading swimmer, actually, in swimming the channel. And I had the privilege last week of walking with her the entire Philadelphia Marathon.
Wow.
With a number of people. Yeah, all of them over the age of 70. We did easily 26 and a half miles, then we did drinking, and that's another story. Maybe I shouldn't say it. But she was 69, and I'm 70, and we just gave ourselves a high five. So we'll talk about how you can do that, how you can start from scratch, and make that happen in your life, too. But right now, we are on a different level, a different plane of successful aging, the more spiritual and emotional part, with Rabbi Daniel Cohn. What will they say about you when you're gone, creating a life of legacy? There are two chapters in this book of the seven principles of what you can do that are probably the most fascinating. I'll tell you later why they're the easiest to accomplish as you get older. But can you just give us a little synopsis of the principle of create and renewing energy?
So the principle is actually called creating memories, and it really relates to the belief that what we oftentimes remember are not days, we remember moments that we've shared with people. And the truth is that when we focus on the value of spending time with people that we love, taking walks with people, creating memories for them, then ultimately we also create a life of legacy and we renew relationships at the same time. And sometimes they can happen in the most spontaneous of moments. And the story, I think, just to summarize this, is I was doing a funeral for an older woman, and in talking to her daughter, she said, you know, I don't really have anything I want to say at the funeral. I didn't have a great relationship with my mom. But I said to her, you know, if you feel like you want to say something, please do. And she came to the funeral, and she said, I have two memories that I want to share, and this is one of them. Said, I will never forget when I was 8 years old, I was fast asleep and it was snowing outside. And my mother came to me and said, honey, it's snowing outside. Get your clothes on. Let's go outside and play. And here was a woman who was 50 years old. And the memory that stands out in her mind is that act of love that her mother gave her in this almost spontaneous of moments to create a memory of a lifetime. And to me, that is so critical, not only for legacy, but for leading a life of meaning. And it relates to the other principle you said, which is called discovering your renewable energy. Every day, and I believe this in my heart of hearts, there is something unique that we can accomplish. There is a renewed purpose in our life. And when we believe that, you know, that we're endowed with that higher purpose every single day, then we get invested by God and the higher force to continue to be inspired because there's so much we can accomplish. You know, too many times we define ourselves by what our profession was and things like that. But it's really who we are. And if somebody, for example, and I say this, there's no such thing as retirement. I say, just imagine, by the way, if Moses was living today, he would have been sitting in Egypt. He would have been sitting in Florida, and the Jews never would have gotten out of Egypt. I mean, great careers begin, you know, many times later, and it's not a career in a business. It's as a grandfather, a grandmother. It's as a volunteer. It's as somebody to create new memories and new impact with. And they are definitely connected, and it ultimately speaks to the value of every day. And just one last point on this is it's so hard sometimes not to lead a life of regret. I wish I could have. I wanted to do this. Don't do that. And I struggle with that too. Today's a new day. The only moment that I have is right now. Let me make the most of this moment and bring a little heaven down to earth.
And it is so true. Why it's easier for older adults to create memories and not just dwell in the old memories. We all have the old memories. Remember this, remember that. We're doing that right now. What was the best Thanksgiving you ever had? We're always looking in the past. But creating memories for the moment and volunteering are very, very connected. Problem with aging is that we become invisible. And our kids, usually adult kids, are listening to us as we were. They want to. They don't want to see us differently. When they like us or they don't like us, what they like and don't like stays the same. But we have real opportunities as we age. One, we have grandkids who haven't heard us before. And two, we have new people to meet as we volunteer. And now we have the time for the first time in our life to really give time, not just money. So when you're creating new memories and you're renewing your energy, you need new people in your life. And
yes.
It's actually much easier when you're older to know, because you've got the new family, the kids, they're just learning who you are, and vice versa. And you've got all new people you can bring in your life as a volunteer. I will end with the rabbi, but I have to say one thing about my mom and the people in the back of the room at her funeral, because we didn't know who they were. They were all people who started their own businesses, because my mom, who never had any business in her life, when they would express to her what they wanted to do, she would say, "My money's on you." She never had any money. But that was her phrase.
That was your mom?
Imagine just to say somebody, whatever they want, whatever cockamamie thing they came up with, they wanted to do in their life, "Oh, my money's on you." And that one voice that said they could do it canceled all the other voices that said they couldn't.
That is extremely inspiring. That's beautiful.
Yeah, and it is. And so let's finish with you, Robert, again. Tell everybody your website, the name of the book, because we have only a minute, but I want people to find you.
Thank you so much. The website is RabbiDanielCohen.com. The book is called What Will They Say About You When You're Gone? Creating a Life of Legacy. Love to hear from you. There's videos there. There's blogs. And ultimately, each one of us has a unique purpose in this world every day. And if I can be supportive in any way to help us all realize leading a life of legacy, I would love to. So thank you so much for having me on your show.
And I want to remind everyone that Rabbi Cohen is a really great speaker. And if you don't believe it, go to RabbiDanielCohen.com. And watch him and bring the tissues. And if you have organizations or corporations and so on, let them know about this. It's such an important lit candle in a kind of getting a dark world. And for us, we have responsibilities, not just rights. We have obligations. And as we get older, we feel better if we exercise those obligations and do things for other people and not get marginalized and take our past skills and bring them to people who might not have them without us. So every single week I say the same thing. Get out there, kids, and make it happen. Okay, that's it.
Thank you so much.
That's our show. Isn't this fun? I love this show.
Yeah, no, it's great. I appreciate the opportunity, and you've got a wonderful spirit about you.
Well, I will tell you that this will be on our homepage. It'll be heard on Saturday night and mostly on Sundays at 10 o'clock on most of the broadcast stations.
Okay.
It goes on our next Wednesday. It goes on our website so that people could just hear the archive forever, basically, and or they can hear it on their phone. You know, that's what's going on, and you'll be on the homepage, and so it's just wonderful. Hopefully, one day I'll be able to attend one of your lectures.
Where do you live, by the way? Thank you.
I live in Tewksbury, New Jersey.
And
you actually, in your book, you mentioned the man from Flemington in your book.
Oh, yes, I did.
Right.
Good
and
memory.
That's
true.
Our biggest town near us. It happens to be Flemington.
Oh, wow.
So you see, it's very, very close to home, all the things that you're talking about. Wonderful
well, thank
stuff.
You. I appreciate all your enthusiasm. If there's anything I can do to support you or any organization or community, let me know.
Well, you know what? We could send you your show without the commercials, and if you want to put it on your website
or
anything,
helpful.
It'll help. Yeah, it'll help people know that we're here. Okay? Very good.
Thank you so much.
You.
Have a great day.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
That was Carl Banks wanting to know why he hasn't heard from you. I said, I can't talk now. I'm doing the radio show.